Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real-time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid, Red Florence!
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money, baby.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Feta Tapendo Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. Yes, it's your wrestling podcast. We are back, and wrestling's what it's all about, isn't it? We don't care about football in this podcast. What we care about is wrestling. Football is irrelevant. Football's just daft, isn't it? Football's daft, I would say. Wrestling is the real deal. Wrestling's what it's all about. Grado, let's keep it to wrestling this week. How about the wrestling? Are you enjoying the wrestling, Grado? My man, Grado.
Well, Rab, I'm going to talk about football. Even though I'm sitting here absolutely biffing out, looking up COVID passports and flights and all the rest of it, I'm going to take my mind off that. So I don't want to talk about the football anyway, Rab. I want to talk about professional wrestling.
Well, let's say this. Let's give a shout out to all our listeners. I'm imagining we've got plenty of listeners who are Rangers supporters. So have a good time out in Seville if you're heading out. I remember myself heading out to see Celtic playing in that final.
Did you go to Seville?
Aye, I did.
No, you never.
Aye, I did.
No, you never.
I did.
You think you went to Seville, Rab?
Stayed in Madrid for a week before.
Were you one of the million people that went there? According to you, like, oh, there was millions of people there.
Seville calculator.
There was like 2 million. There was at least 2 million there.
Yeah.
But I was in Madrid for a week, and then I was in Seville for that. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, by the way. I have never been anywhere near roasting in my life. It was roasting.
You seriously went to Seville?
Aye. Went to Seville, watched the game.
You had the game?
Slept in the train station at night, waiting for the train in the morning, back to Madrid.
Who'd you go with?
I went with my ex at the time. And we just went. We just went. My big brother went as well, but he didn't have a ticket for the game.
Right,
so he just watched outside in the big screens. And we get beat.
I think Rangers could win it.
I think Rangers could win it as well, but let's keep it to the wrestling. But anyway, to all the Rangers fans who do listen to this podcast, best of luck. Try and fucking behave yourselves over there, for fuck's sake. Try and behave yourselves, for fuck's sake. No, but I must be cracking. Grado, you're going to love that. When you go there, that'd be great fun. Raise a drink for Rab Florence when you're there having fun in Seville, and just remember to hydrate. Take loads of water, because it's roasting. Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What's been going on, Grado? You've got a lot to tell us about your weekend. That's what I'm going to be wanting to talk about. Will we talk about it in the new?
No, I think we're going to do this. Remember, we're talking about this because we're going to do this in a shoot interview style, because there's
absolutely
a lot to talk about.
I forget it all now.
We'll get into it later on when we get to the running, because you are this week's running, Grado. So,
Rab's going to do the
shoot interview on you. We're going to talk about the love of wrestling, and we're going to talk about your return to ICW as well.
Well,
Grado's family wrestling bash, for example, Pavilion tomorrow.
Jesus Christ, that's tomorrow, I know.
couple of tickets left. Pavilionthetre.co.uk.
Am I booked for that?
Listen, mate, you are officially now the worst person to get a holiday. You make me feel good about myself.
Credo, you have never contacted me about this, ever.
No, but I've tried to contact you for other stuff, and I just can't get a hold of you. When? So I just thought there's no point in even contacting you.
When?
What do you want to do?
Nothing, man, but I want to do something in the next one. The next one's too late now. What can I do now? I'm not even in ring shape.
Okay, you want to referee me in, Brett? I've said that already.
Right, although you might not be able to remember what happened at For the Love of Wrestling, right? But I'll tell you somebody who does remember what happened at it. Right. One of our listeners, Jim. Jim says, can I put our Grado big time? Met him on the Saturday at For the Love of Wrestling. My two kids and I are massive Grado marks, and all the people we were meeting, my boys are most excited to meet your man. He listened to our pish, made my boys feel like absolute champions. My wee boy also loved that he noticed him wearing his Grado hat in the queue to get our photos taken and spoke about it all day, Saturday and Sunday morning. Also kept him up to date with the Rangers game and told him about how Rab, John and Grado were the soundtrack to my going out from a couch to 5K and my 5 stone weight loss. Amazing, Jim. So a massive thank you to him and, of course, to all you for the podcast. Keep up the great work. How about that?
He was a lovely person and his boys were brand new as well. So I shout out to Jim, and he really is a big listener of the podcast. So I, lovely to meet you, big man. It was great. It was nice for somebody to recognise me. You know what I mean?
You know, there was a couple of people came to see the musical, by the way, who would say to me, catch me after it or whatever, and say, they're listening to the podcast. That's cool.
Nice, isn't it?
That's nice, man. That's nice.
By the way, everything all good, wrapped up well.
Wrapped up well in Inverness. Inverness, beautiful place, by the way.
Fastest growing city in Europe.
It was nothing like what I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I expected it to be, a wee kind of toon kind of place. You know what I mean?
Aye.
A lot of these wee toons kind of can be a wee bit kind of tired and hang me, but no, but this one, beautiful restaurants, beautiful people, really nice, friendly people, and the nightlife was cracking, loads of cracking pubs and clubs and all that kind of stuff. It was like Soccer Hall Street, by the way. It was like Soccer Hall Street used to be.
Did you find anything about the Nairn murder that happened in 2004, John, are you aware of that?
No.
Oh, this is meant such a mental story.
Grado,
coming back, by the way.
But Grado, I went to Nairn.
To go to that woman's door?
What? No, I went to Nairn Beach. I went to Nairn, me and Jen and the Waynes, and Jen's da, we all went to Nairn Beach. Great day there. Tell me about Nairn.
No, it's the fast, you know, remember the story about the banker? In 2004, I think it was end of November 2004, somebody came to his door, handed him an envelope with a letter P on it. He came up the stair to his missus and says, I've just been haunted this envelope. We had to go back and see who that was. Went down the stair, he got shot on his doorstep. He was an Ayrshire fella. They've never arrested any, not one person. However, there's been an update. Mm-hmm. You read this, John?
Oh, I think this is mental.
Did you? Well,
was there a podcast about us?
Yes, the doorstep murder by.
Oh my God, aye.
Fiona.
Radio Scotland.
So, but they never really go anywhere further. But apparently, the story is new. I don't want to get myself into a litigational scenario here. However, the story is, well, apparently, it's got something to do with the hotel across the road. I'm saying this is just apparently, according to news tabloids, there was apparently a falling out or.
Decking
getting laid down. Apparently it was a bit of a fault today with decking, but surely to Christ that's no been your day. Aye, it's a very, very interesting situation. I can't believe you were up there and you never kind of.
That was
it. I've been on Google Maps and everything, mate. I've been walking the steps and all that.
But did you go onto the decking grade on Google Maps? Could you see the decking? Did it look all right?
Well, you can look at when the you can look at Google Maps in 2008, then you can look at it in 2009, and it's you know the decking's there, and it's very, very interesting, man. It's a very, very, very
because
bizarre scenario.
We have reopened it. Basically, I'm reading now. I'm going to read the BBC because we know that'll be fine to read. Police said they'd detectives investigating the murder of the father of two almost 18 years ago believe a planning dispute was the likely motive. Police said he had objected to a large decking area outside the hotel opposite his house, and Mr. Wilson said the decking was a cause of noise and litter problems. Detectives travelled to Canada in March this year to interview someone they have described as a key witness regarding the planning application.
What?
They have now confirmed the witness was the former landlord of the Havelock Hotel.
Now lives in Canada?
Yeah, but on Tuesday, we're keen to make it clear he was not a suspect in the case.
It's really weird, that one. Do you remember that happening? Sure, in that podcast, somebody phoned up the BBC, somebody came all about it. They phoned John, what do you call the big rugby fella?
John Beattie.
John Beattie, aye. He was involved in it.
Hold on, can we just state right now that John Beattie was not involved in the murder of this guy in there?
He was, aye, but he was contacted by somebody with some intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, that was absolutely mad, isn't it? Welcome to Wrestling Daft. You're listening to Wrestling Daft, the world's premier wrestling podcast. Now, gender reveal parties, by the way, are now a thing. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to Draft Hash and Gavin Wilson have pointed us in the direction of one which incorporates wrestling themed gender reveal party. Let's have a look at this.
Did you do a gender reveal party, Grado?
Oh, by the way, I get the piss taken right out of me for that. I remember one day I was doing that kilt walk and my brother contacted me. It was a day I had been drinking the night before and he went, by the way, man, I've heard something about you last night. I'm absolutely raging at you. I can't believe you've done this. And I'm walking, I'm biffing out going, what did I do last night, man? What did I done? And I phoned him right away. I went, what are you talking about? What have I done? He went, a fucking gender reveal party. Who the fuck was that?
Right, we should have done it this way. Here we go.
Pink, they're fighting each other.
Aye.
So obviously it's like whoever wins is going to be the gender of the baby, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going for it. Look at everybody.
One, two.
Oh, it's not streaming very well.
It's not streaming very well. Oh, no, it kicks it at two. Fucking booking falsies and having a gender reveal party.
Was that a kick out there, aye?
That was a kick out, so.
And but that's quite a good way of doing it, actually. It's actually quite falls, cool. Not it?
Aye. There we go. Oh, there we go. One, two. I think that's pretty cool, aye. It's paused again.
Oh, it's a boy.
Oh, and then the big blue.
Yeah.
Blue streamers and what have you. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
That is nice, man.
Did you do the gender reveal party?
For me?
Nah. Aye. I suppose I can admit it now because my gender reveal party was in June, but I looked at the envelope. I looked at it.
Can I get it straight? Right, I didn't realise this, right? So you don't, right? Who planned this?
John's needing smartened up here.
I mean, smartened up in gender reveal, right? Because this was before we had Wayne's not, right? So do you and Stephanie say know the sex and you're revealing to everyone? Or do you guys not know what the sex is, but someone else has got the envelope right and had to go and organise it?
So what the day is, right? You go for your scan and they say, do you want to know? And you go, no, because we're having a gender reveal. So they go, right, I'll just put it in a wee envelope, and then you hand the envelope to see if you're doing it, you know, you're doing a balloon gimmick, right? So you hand it to the balloon woman.
This is proper pro wrestling shit.
That is right. So, you know, it was like 2 days before it, and I was like, nah, get armed.
Did you both know?
I don't want to put Stephanie under the bus. I don't want to see if she said that or not, but I remember that.
I told us wrestling because clearly it's a total fucking work thing on you.
But see if you actually, because I remember just look, because remember, see at the time, right, I put my hand in my heart, I'll be honest, I didn't think I was going to have a wee lass. You just automatically think, I'm having a wee boy, oh, I can take him to the fit, but he's going to be a wrestler and blah, 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 all this shite. And I opened up the envelope and I was like, yeah, bastard. I mean, I took it really bad. It's pathetic now, but I really took it bad, man. I was greeting. I was like, I don't want to ask it. And then, you know, you people, obviously when I think about it now, I can tell you that comfortably now because now I couldn't imagine having a wee boy. Lassie to me is the best thing in the world. I generally don't want a boy. I want having a wee lassie, a wee princess, or the rest of it, which everybody told me about, and I went, fuck, that's a lot of shite. He's a talking shite.
It's amazing.
Go, John.
I have a question, a further question to this. So you and Stephanie both knew the sex of the baby, yeah? Right.
I hope none of my family listened to this, but
you did. So obviously you're an actor, you appear on our TV screens and what have you. Stephanie not an actor, you know. So obviously you could work it, you know, being a wrestler, you could work the audience. But that, how did Stephanie react when the gender reveal? Did she go, oh my God, oh my God?
No, so here's the crack. This is what's, I don't know if it, whether it worked out better or no, but it was the worst acting performance ever. Because remember, at the time, as soon as the balloon was popped in my head, I was getting down on my knees to propose.
Oh, so you were, yes.
So in my mind, I totally forgot about, right, I'll need to sell this, I'll need to sell this reaction, because the nerves were all...
You were thinking about the next bit.
I was thinking about the next bit. So if you watch the video, right, the balloon gets popped and I literally just go, look at it. And then go down. I don't have any reaction to it whatsoever.
No reaction.
And I just go down and I did that greety face, you know, that greety face you did like at school when the teacher was shouting at you, know, that kind of you look like that, right? I was that nervous. I just went, you marry me. And I couldn't, no matter what I could do with that fucking mouth, I just couldn't stop pulling that greety face. I was like, you bastard, I can't stop greeting you. So if you watch the video back, man, the biggest no-sell of the balloon pop you'll ever see in your life, because I'm concentrating on the... And then folk at the end, they go, then you're having a girl. And I'm like, oh, I saw.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. See, this is what it's all about. This is what I miss, man, when I don't do this podcast. This is what it's all about.
Pull your finger out your ass, man.
Percy Sledgehammer says, please find attached a picture of AEW Sensation Hook signed by myself. Percy Sledgehammer, and also fraudulently signed by Brian Knobs. We referenced his gaping ring piece as brought to your attention by Grado Wrestling on last week's show. What the hell?
I can't find... Where have I put this?
I did see the picture. He had a picture of Hook.
He did put a picture of Hook.
I think he got Brian Knobs to write something about his arse in the autograph.
Yes, he did. He did. Percy Sledgehammer, after we talked about Brian Knobs' knob and the fact he has a micropenis, and you then said, you then Googled a picture of his arsehole, Grado.
Wait, no, I tried to find the picture of his arse.
But he says fraudulently signed by Brian Knobs here, so it's not actually Brian Knobs that signed it.
Oh. No, it... Oh, really? Fraudulently? Oh, I thought he maybe was at fault.
So this guy has just got a picture and he's just fucking signed it. He's happy his head.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
This is our listeners, man. He's happy his head. Talking to the National Theatre of Scotland being like wrestling, Ryan has asked if going method is the equivalent of working yourself into a shoot. That's quite interesting, that. Like your man Jared Leto, like him. The way he is, the way he gets when he's doing it, when he's doing the things, working himself into a shoot.
What do you mean?
Well, Jared Leto, he like when he's playing a Joker and all that.
Oh, he stays in character for the film.
And he kind of acts like the Joker.
Like Jim Carrey when he done Andy Kaufman.
Oi, that kind of stuff.
You know that?
Who, me?
Aye.
No, that's a lot. Just come on and say your lines and fuck off, man.
That's it. Man. On the stage, say your line and fuck off, innit? Who taught you that?
But who taught me that?
Because I remember Bob always telling me when he used to do panels with Jim Davidson.
Right.
And you would spend years doing pantomimes directed by folk that would be like, right, can you do that again, except do it like this, and maybe walk around, give complete stage directions, like very, very detailed stuff. But Jim Davidson was, his advice was, get on the stage, say your line and fuck off.
Amen. That's surprising to me that a guy like Jim Davidson would apply so little craft.
Go on the stage, say your line and fuck off.
Basically, what I'm saying to Jared Leto here is a fucking good night, Jared Leto, and jabroni marks for a life. I don't know, it's a work when you work, a work and work yourself into a shoot, marks. It's basically what I'm saying. Now, last week we were talking about Jesse Ray, and last episode, talking about Jesse Ray, and friend of the show and singer extraordinaire Toby Michaels got back in touch and says, when Grado was performing at Belladrum Festival, Jesse Ray was also performing at the same time. I had to lug his big bastard I saw through the festival grounds, says Toby. He says he's sure Grado was too focused in trying to get him backstage to meet Tom Jones, though.
That's right.
So he didn't notice. The great Jesse Ray, man. We should try and interview him or something. Mr. Ian says the Rokutane chat. Rakuten chat took me back 20 years to my last week of high school, where the dry lips, bloodshot eyes made the deputy head of my school accuse me of boozing. when my tiny bottle of Hembrew, when I just wanted to have a sore face, wouldn't wish it in my worst enemy.
That's fucking brilliant.
Rakuten, by the way, is for acne. That's right, isn't it, Grado?
It says it's the worst but the best. medication for acne ever, man. That's fucking funny, man. I accused him of boozing. Oh, it doesn't mean it rips your lips to shreds, mate. I do. If any listeners of the show that are Wayne's are going through a wee bit of an issue with their acne and stuff like that, then go down to a doctor and try and see if he can prescribe that. It's a rough couple of weeks, but it does get rid of it. And I've got perfect skin now, you know.
You do have lovely skin.
I'm always going to tell that.
Yeah, you definitely skin. Jiggly flags up a video which has blown up on TikTok involving Grado's theme, Like a Prayer. What is this?
What age were you when you realised that this song was about the DJ?
Oh, I thought people were sending me footage of Woody Cryer. She's done a cover of Like a Prayer, it's superb.
Oh, right. No, this is happening. I did not realise that Like a Prayer was about blowjobs.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting totally mixed up. But no, I've always kind of heard that early years now.
I didn't know that. I had
down
no
on my knees,
idea.
So I want to take you there. I don't know how real that is.
I've never thought it was about a blowjob.
I've heard that years ago. No, I thought everybody knew that. When you come in, it's like a prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In a minute, where I can feel your power. So, I mean, really.
I mean, obviously, there's a wee bit of playful wordplay there, but I don't think it's a. I wouldn't actually say it's about a blowjob.
To me, the only thing I can think of is she's done her knees, but she's been doing her knees to pray, no?
Well, that's the thing. It's what kind of what's both ways.
Oh, right, this comes from Smooth Radio. I don't know if this is, you know, because they'll have maybe cleaned it up, but it says. Who wrote Like a Prayer? What inspired the song? Madonna had not recorded music. What was it about? How was the song written? Yeah, it's apparently somebody's love for God. That's what they're saying.
It's like one of the ones, like, you know, the guy for Keenan and Kel died in a speedboat accident, and it's like, aye, kind of fucking
just an urban myth. It was always, I don't know, it was always someone dying, wasn't it? It's primary school. Steve-O, Two Steve's Unlimited. Always. I remember saying, Two Unlimited have been killed in a car crash. They're both dead.
This guy's basically built this being about a blowjob just around somebody going down on their knees. That's basically all there is in the lyrics. It's about getting blowjob, which would mean like every fucking guy that's a plumber that's came around my house to fix my toilet pan, who goes down on his knees every day, all day, are getting blowjobs. And they'll know. They're no game blowjobs. They fucking get paid as much. They fucking should be game blowjobs. I'll tell you that much. They should be fucking game blowjobs.
See, to be honest with you. And let's kind of delve through the celestial realm. But how many times have we actually got fellatio when the person's on their knees? It's not that often, is it?
It's true.
Depends what you're into.
You know what I mean?
Depends how you like it, mate.
I mean, if I'm being honest, like that. This is maybe going to be.
What position are you normally in when you're getting a blowjob?
But I just remember the first time.
If you've ever had one. is a position you're normally in when you're getting a blowjob, double door at the waist, you're getting yourself one.
It's mostly kind of that. Clark.
Grado's lying back nicely here.
In the fucking big
in that chair. In that chair, in that gaming chair. Hey, let's move on.
Oh, we better move on, man.
John Mitchell
says, the bash tomorrow, 2 p.m.
John Mitchell says, catching up on the show for a few weeks ago when we were talking about incorporating wrestling pay-per-views into normal sport. He said the idea of a money in the bank. Fuck's sake, man. He says the idea of a money in the bank League Cup winners would be amazing. Imagine Celtic beat Hearts in a well-fought match at Parkhead and Tina Turner just starts playing on the PA.
Brad missed this episode.
Dragging Bobby Madden with him by the scruff of the neck, hands on the briefcase while Callum McGregor's cramping up, gesturing for Madden to blow his whistle to kick a game off. That's box office. McDow also did a wee Photoshop, and it's a wee tweet here, a wee photo of Alan McCoist with his Money in the Bank case with 10 points on it. You thought Helicopter Sunday was great, just waiting until we're minutes away from losing the title this season when, what's that, Super Alan, he's cashing in the 10 points he got deducted in 2012. Oh man, these Rangers fans are full of beans this week, aren't they? They're full of beans. Man.
Did you see Ali at full time last night?
No, I didn't see.
Oh, it's brilliant, man. It's funny.
What was he doing? Was he just
doing all that and dancing. He was like obviously doing live feeds, but the players were shouting up to him at the same time, going "Ali, Ali!" And he was turning around, going "Yes, come on, come on!"
Okay. It's a good. I mean, they must have been out there motivated as well with what happened with Jimmy Bell and stuff like that.
Oh,
I was fucking laughing, by the way. I was just, excuse me, I'm on back on football again, but you know, you always see these like Celtic fans going down and laying tributes and all that at Ibrox
with the Celtic caps
and stuff. You know what I mean? And they're putting, and it's nice. It's like, because I saw on Facebook there was a wee thread and guy, you know, guy, I thought a boy doing Celtic tapo and not and leaving a wee memorial and hanging up for Jimmy Bell, and it's nice and I respect it. And obviously, as human beings, we should do that stuff. But I always just think to myself, fucking Jimmy Bell, isn't he fucking bothered about you coming down? And do you know what I mean? It's like, I get it. Jimmy Bell's the fucking last guy that's bothered about this fucking boy coming down and leaving a tribute to him. You know what I mean? Seriously, he's wanting a load of fucking bears down there paying tribute to him. No, you know what I mean? That's the thing. But this is why you love guys like Jimmy Bell, right? Because it's fucking, is that how we talk about all the time, Grado? Just be fucking honest about who you love
and who
what
you
it's
hate.
All about. Mm-hmm. Like, none of this.
Why, I know why I mean. We should be proud of the rivalry, how we can really, you know, the way it is out here, it's all, oh, you can't say this and you can't say that in terms of, oh no, you might split your audience and stuff. I wish we could, everybody would just be real.
Aye, but see that guy, man, it's like Jimmy Bell, it's like a motivating factor in it for the whole fucking club to do this, because that guy's been fucking there, man. He's been there through all it.
Drove the buses, done the kits, was always, you know, every single game. And I think you could see with the way the players have reacted as well, Rab, like really, really gutted. You can tell he was like an old uncle to them all, an old papa.
Totally, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, managers come and go, players come and go, they kiss the badge for a while and they leave and all that, right? But that guy for fucking decades was in there fucking hanging up these shirts, you know what I mean?
You don't... You don't make them like, what is it they say? You don't make them. You don't. Fuck. You know what I mean?
Broke a mould.
Aye.
Is that what you're saying? They broke a mould.
Somebody, was it somebody wrote on Twitter, this guy replying to it, YNWATP with the green love heart and the blue love heart. And somebody wrote, never write that again. In any circumstance.
Right. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us about any of that, no fucking that football. Wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Our email is at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Woo!
When I'm performing on a stage in a musical, you need to be well groomed. When you're in a hit musical, mate, right? 4 stars, 5 stars reviews, fire on everywhere. You need to be well groomed. See, when I like to have a shave, mate, I like to use Harry's shaving stuff.
Can I tell you something right here now? Mm-hmm. How cleanly shaved am I?
Oh, you look very cleanly shaved, actually.
Here's a crack. I packed 2 razors. I packed 1 Harry's and 1 non-Harry's item. And yesterday morning I went up, and I have to admit, my Harry's one was a wee bit more dirty, right? Because I'd used it before. There was a fresh other one. And I started using the fresh other one. I thought, you know what? I'm not getting as clean a shave as what I did with Harry's. I swear to God, I'm not just saying this. But I wasn't. So I binned the other one and started from scratch, and I used Harry's, and I used that ergonomic rotatory blade, and I'm looking absolutely to die for.
And this is the truth as well. When I was away on tour and I was in the dressing room and I was talking to some of the boys, I was telling them, they were talking about shaving and stuff like that, talking about, do you use foam? Do you not use foam? And I say, see that fucking Harry's shaving foam. See that shaving foam. It's one of the best shaving foams I've ever.
Were you having a shave for... the show every day,
just here, just kind of keep on tap a wee bit, no like clean shave, but keep it tidied up, you know what I mean? Aye. Had to do that. Harry's way more than a super sharp razor company, though. They're revamping the whole routine for you. Close shaves, flake free hair, clear, healthy skin. Harry's helping you feel good. And right now, we're offering a free travel size shower gel with a trial set, so you can try them for yourself. So you can get your trial set off us, well, off them, but through us, through us. Expertly engineered weighted handle, 1.5 blade cartridge, crafted by artisans, by the way, German factory, precision trimmer, a handy foam and shave gel, that's the one we've been talking about, for effective lubrication, travel blade cover for life's adventures, and a free shower gel. A free shower gel in the mix. So we can't praise them enough. We keep getting sent them. We keep using them. Our skin's looking great. There's no need for any acne medication anymore. Legredo. Look at that skin, and that's how he looks after it, using Harry's stuff. They can be added to your shave plans easily. Cleansing and exfoliating before you shave remembers increases the chance of cleaner results. And Harry's products are formulated with 0% sulfates, parabens, or dyes, and are alcohol-free. So nothing for you to worry about in there. And you can't be fucking tanning it either, man. If you're in the taste, if you're at the cover in Alky, you don't want to be tanning it. Now, to take advantage of this offer, give your own shower shave a go. Redeem a free Harry's trial set. All you need to cover is $3.95 for delivery. Try out, see what you think. You think you'll like it? Just head to harrys.com/wrestlingdaft to have your set delivered and start a shave plan yourself. Your freebie will be added when you check out. That's harrys.com/wrestlingdaft. Now, every week we like to separate Tony Hart from Bret Hart as we bury and put all stuff to the world of wrestling. Right, Grado, you've been watching it.
Well, I must admit, this week I kind of fell away from it. Oh, I don't think I've saw any of it. What about you, Rob? You up to date with it?
I've been watching a wee bit of WWE, and I've been watching a wee bit of AEW. I've been kind of keeping on tap. I've been loving the Blackpool Combat Club business that's happening at AEW with Regal.
Right.
Did you see that promo? Did you see Regal's promo? Did you see it, John?
I missed it. I heard it was cracking, though.
Very good, man. Very good. And I just feels like that's a cool stable, Blackpool Combat Club. What they're trying to sell is a bit of violence. You know what I mean? A bit of rough. Regal's a scary. People forget this. Regal can be a scary guy, and they're leaning on that heavily. My only problem, I think, with Blackpool Combat Club the new is who are they up against? They need... There's a kind of a lack of friction there, of dramatic friction. So we need somebody for them to fight against, but I'm really enjoying that.
The only thing that I've saw, Rab, to cut you off, was the stuff with Wardlaw and MGF. That's good. That's very, very entertaining. I saw him introduce Big Cass on Dynamite the other night. I thought that was very, very entertaining. I actually really want to see. When are they going to fight at the next pay-per-view?
Who, Wardlaw and MGF?
Wardlaw and MGF.
Aye, so? And he's a star, isn't he, Wardlaw?
He's the man.
Oh, my God.
He is
amazing, man.
They've built him really well, I think. I mean, it's been a really good build for him.
He is the best talker in wrestling, without a doubt.
It's just this impressive stuff. And Asuka came back at WWE, and sadly, I'm sad to announce that she's came back with that kind of daft jumping about shouting gimmick, which I was not happy about that at all. That's my boxing. Let's see what the punters are saying. Jose McNaldo wants to put WWE stepping their game up. Alpha Academy are possibly the most entertaining act in wrestling at the minute, and it's refreshing to see them build new stars. Austin Theory could be the next Randy Orton with the way they're building them. And P.S., it's great to hear Rab is back. Ian Drew Dice Clay wants to put over Alessandro Del Piero for being a massive wrestling fan and Tiger Mask's mate.
Whoa.
Have you seen this video?
No.
I will. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Alessandro Del Piero talking about Tiger Mask.
I want us all to watch the video that Ian Andrew Dice Clay shared of Young Rock.
I watched it.
The one that which we should maybe share on this? Let's do a couple from Ian through Dice Clay, because he is shared a belt or a Hulk from Hulk Hogan's karaoke party as well.
Oh, that was hilarious as well.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Well, let's see this.
Is Del Piero.
Come on now.
Fuck.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I love that, man. So he must have been just into his puro then.
That's mad. John, do you know what that's weird? Remember we had Marco Negri?
Hey, Alessandro Del Puro.
Remember we had Marco Negri on the podcast and he was going on about how much he loved Eddie Guerrero and fucking...
Yeah.
Remember that?
I know, it must be, I wonder if Marco Negri and Del Piero are pals and go to the wrestling together.
think I should ask Marco Negri if he knew that? I should ask him who's a bigger wrestling fan, you or Del Piero?
Maybe do that.
Because did he ever get capped, Negri? One or two? No, maybe not.
That's amazing. But can we also share the video which Ian drew Dice Clay, which you'll see on the Wrestling Daft Twitter stream, of Hulk Hogan's karaoke party? Fuck it, Ross, finish, get the fucking karaoke on. Do you want to see this?
Did you see this, Rab?
No, I've not seen it.
But this is what it's like. I mean, they must just have a lock-in, or not a lock-in, just near their concert, watch.
There we go.
Like, this is after Raw.
This is after Raw.
So they've watched Raw?
They've watched Raw. This is what they do. They do it every Monday night. It's a wee karaoke night. They're having the boozer. Right.
There we go. There's the Hulkster there.
And that's Nick Hogan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? Or maybe it's not.
I think it is. Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh, no, it's...
This Hogan pretending to dance.
Look at Jim Hart tapping his knees and all that.
This is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Hogan doesn't know what to do.
This just looks like a bad night out, doesn't it?
Look at Jimmy Hart's knee. Look at Jimmy Hart's knee.
This is really awkward, isn't it?
So who puts these videos out? Like him?
Look, I swear to God, Rab Bright, he's like an old football player that owns an old boozer and like Benidorm, right? He goes on Facebook, right, everybody, get your bodies down here. 9 o'clock, we'll get the karaoke on. Buy one, get one free of the drinks, don't miss it. All the crew are coming. And that's what they do, literally. They watch Raw and
This guy's loaded, man. What is he doing? Why is he doing that every night? Why is he no like travelling the world? Why is he no like living in the best places? And what is he doing?
I don't know. Maybe he's getting old now. He's maybe like the company just sitting with a wee couple of swallies on a Monday night, wee Monday club. Good on him.
Oh, fuck's sake. Right. So, but was there another video you were going to show us? Oh, no, it was the one we watched about that.
Young Rock. Did you watch the full episode? I'm desperate to see Cabana. I knew that Cabana was playing Brooklyn Brawler because he was in New Zealand for about 6 months.
I've not watched the full episode, but I watched that wee clip and it looked like a porno or something, man. It was just weird. It was, wasn't it?
Have you got that, John?
What one's that?
See if you go on Dice Clay's Twitter.
Right. I'm on it. By the way, everyone follow Ian Drew Dice Clay. He's under Ian Drew the Giant on Twitter at the moment. He posts some phenomenal wrestling stuff.
That's where you're going to get your content. No here.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a wrestling content here.
Yeah.
Right, so what I'm looking for, the trailer for the Young Rock, is that right?
No, so he kind of posted
The locker room, the Young Rock.
I've got it here,
here we go. This is the Young Rock meeting the WWE locker room.
My Uncle Tonga was a legend.
Hey.
Steve Austin, the man who revolutionized the wrestling business, and in my opinion, the greatest of all time.
Is that Goldberg?
He was simply known as the Ringmaster.
This is my first match.
What?
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Did he just say this is his first match? I'm Dwayne Johnson. Nice to meet you.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
And this guy who looked like he was late for a fox hunt would one day become... Now Triple H is one of my closest friends in wrestling, but back then we were planting the seeds on what would grow into a classic rivalry.
You know, in a few months I should be Intercontinental Champion.
Nice. That's the same title Don Morocco let me wear when I was 10. It feels really good. You'll like it.
Nice. When I win, I'll make sure to send you an autographed picture. Maybe you can sell it. Buy some matching ring gear.
Nice.
Hey, it's Rocky's kid, Mick Foley. Heard about you winning tonight. Tough break.
Don't sweat it. Go out there, do your thing, have some fun. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure I'm getting fired.
How weird is this, man? Hey, we see this.
We see the Undertaker man.
I was in total awe of his presence. I had only heard him say the words "rest in peace." So what came out of
I definitely seen this Undertaker at Mary Hill Town Hall. For the rest of my life.
Undertaker? I just wanted to introduce myself and show my respect. I'm Dwayne Johnson. I'm wrestling in tonight's dark match.
Go tear it up, kid. Make him remember you.
It's baffling to me, this, like... So
like
for one
hear,
thing...
I would like to hear your thoughts, Rob.
For one thing, right, why have they no goat? Men that look like men, normal sized men, and it, why does everybody look like tiny wee skinny guys? I mean, The Rock's one of the execs on this show. He knows what wrestlers are meant to look like. What is going on there? Why is there no some big dude playing the Undertaker, for example?
I mean, even the ring. I know that Steve Austin had hair a wee bit when he done the Ringmaster, but that guy's got a full head of hair, hasn't he?
Aye, it's just weird, man. It's just, it feels weird. I suppose it's no for wrestling fans, that show, though, is it? It's for, but then,
no.
Why would they even be going down?
I'm working the dark match.
No, yeah, all your that part. What, who's it for?
I'm working the dark
who's
match.
Who's it for, Rock? That's what I'm asking. Who's it for? Right, anyway, let's get back to what people are burying and what people are putting over. Beppe wants to put over Dax versus Cash and Dynamite last week. Great match filled with Brett versus Owen spots. He wants to bury the dueling Enzo chants at Dynamite. The guy's super talented on the mic, deserves a second chance now he's been exonerated from the issues which led to his WWE release. Paul wants to put our ICW bards, especially my boys Jason Reed and Thatcher's Cabinet, also a certain video that played before the show and the pop that it received. Welcome back, Grado. And Paul wants to bury that rotten 24/7 wedding on Raw last week and the fact they had a long recap video on this week's Raw. They love a wedding. But it's new... As we were talking about Grado's return to ICW there, it's the perfect time for the run-in. Because there's no listeners coming in this time. I wanted to chat with Grado. I wanted to catch up with Grado all about the For the Love of Wrestling convention that he was at, all about his ICW return, all of that stuff. Grado, welcome to Wrestling Daft. How are you?
Hi, guys.
What are you up to? What is it you? So what is it you day, mate?
What?
What is it you day, like, for a living?
I am a...
You list your 20 jobs now.
Professional wrestler. What was it somebody asked me that the other day? I tried to crack a joke and it didn't work. I was in the bank and we're trying to get a joint bank account.
What would you say is your main... I guess you're a radio presenter now is your main occupation now, Grado. I guess you've got to classify yourself as a radio presenter, actor, wrestler.
The woman was going, what do you do for a job? You're self-employed. And I says, oh, are we nothing? And she says, well, I need to know, what is it you do? And I says, well, wrestler, actor, radio, you name it, I do it. I says, I'm a bit like Michael Barrymore without the pool. Trying to be funny. And she went, what? I went, ah, oh, no, never mind.
Was that a young lassie?
No, it was an old woman called Sheena. And she went, I need to ask the lassies to see if they can you outside. I went, aye, okay.
You call yourself a broadcaster.
Aye, a broadcaster.
A broadcaster is better than saying like a radio presenter or whatever.
Entertainer.
I would say broadcaster and entertainer.
Right, okay. What would you say? You're a writer.
Writer.
That sounds well better, but doesn't it? That's
writer,
bosh,
performer,
man.
Former director, musical theatre actor.
Singer? You're a singer?
Right, so tell me all about the Love of Wrestling thing. Tell me who was there. And more importantly, who you were cutting about with, because that's what it's all doing, isn't it?
Well, so, I mean, it was brilliant. I wrapped up the radio on the Friday. I jumped in the train. The good people doing it for the Love of Wrestling got me first class. You know about this, John?
I know about this, but Rab doesn't know about the story about what happened in the train.
Well, so I left Glasgow and I was in the carriage myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is brilliant. I got the laptop out. I started watching John Wayne Gacy, the documentary on Netflix.
I watched it all night as well, eh?
What, definitely in my top three serial killers. He's up there. And
I didn't know they had tapes of him talking, did you? That was news to me. Like, somebody's knew about John Wayne Gacy before, but I didn't know there were tapes of him talking in that.
I think what was surprised me is it was always been about the clown killer. He wasn't really much a clown, was he? He done it once or twice.
He was barely a clown. He was barely a clown. Occasionally a clown. I liked that about the documentary that was made about there was kind of more to him than I expected. And his story, because he's always, like, anytime I've kind of read about him in the past, he's always been made to be like, that's like you say, like a monstrous killer clown. And all that. This is, you felt me, this is a real guy here. You know what I mean?
He was really twisted. I mean, he wanted to kill, and what really shook me, it was horrible when he was talking about how, you know, if I pay for something, aka a prostitute, then I own that. And if I want to break it, I'll break it. You buy something at the shop, see if you want to buy something for the shop, right, and you break it, it's up to you if you do it. And it's like the same with prostitutes. It was horrible.
Surely anybody out there can be surprised that as we start this interview about Grado's weekend at the Love of Wrestling convention, it segues off into a 5-minute talk about John Wayne Gacy. You're killing. Right, well, so you're on a train.
And these, the squad, so we leave Glasgow Central, and these, a group of 8 guys, and between 20 and 30 year old, right, with tattoos on and all that, right, and they all had bevy. And I thought, oh my God, this is going
to
be quite...
You're not allowed to drink on the train anymore. It's against
the law. I totally didn't know. I think it's maybe just a ScotRail thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I know you can't drink on the train if you're going to a sporting event and back.
You're not allowed to go to, on the Aviva, or the Aviva. The ones going down south are all right to drink on.
Right,
but it's
well,
just ScotRail.
I had a bottle of wine. But anyway, I was sitting there and I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to end up being quite rowdy. I thought, I'm never going to get to see this documentary. And then it was about 10 minutes later, I looked around and I thought, there's not much noise coming for these people. So about 10 minutes after we left, I thought, they're not really making much noise for, you know, having bottles of Buckfast and bottles of Mad Dog and stuff like that. And I turned around and I realised they were all deaf. These guys were all deaf and they were all gone to a deaf convention in Liverpool.
So they were all steaming but doing sign language to each other?
Yes, aye. Well, well, I felt bad because I thought to myself, oh, these people are going to be rowdy because I heard the boat was a bucky and whatever.
Aye.
But they were absolutely brand new, and I sat and obviously I was kind of talking to them and showing them what I knew in sign language and stuff like that. They were great, although two of the gang ended up fighting.
You're joking.
They were fighting on the train and they got put off at Preston, the two guys. And the two of them had been mute since birth. And, you know, they hadn't spoke a word or heard anything since birth. They were, like, really, you know, they're really quite seriously deaf. But they were going to do it at a deaf convention, but they were great folk. I pitched away. It was just that way. I felt bad that when I saw them walking through, I thought they were going to be bothered because they had the drink and that, but they were all brand new. They were great. So shout out to the boys that I met down the train. I hope they had a great weekend. In fact, one of them actually showed up to the wrestling convention on the Sunday. So there was that. I came off the train. I must admit, I was blittered coming off the train and I get picked up.
You didn't have anything on the Friday night though, did you?
No, I had nothing on the Friday night. No, nothing on the Friday night. And I got trained straight to the hotel and the first person I bumped into was Errol Hemner in the hotel, and gave wee Errol a cuddle and all that, and he's gone. He basically never had a charger for his phone. He never had the right socket thing, right? I was going, come on, Errol, I'll take you up the stair, I'll show you what to do. So we're up the stair, and Errol's just a wee cutie, man. Do you know that way? He was showing me this referee shirt that he had made, and he'd got, like, the Liverpool badge sewn onto it, and he was going, they're going to love it here, right? They're going to love that. I'm going, oh, they are going to love that, Errol. They're going to love it. See, when they see that badge on you, they are going to, honestly, they're going to love you. You're just a wee soul, do you know that way?
What age is he now?
72.
Wow.
72, aye. I think he's 72. And his twin brother, who's really no keeping well, actually, he's, Dave, he's got Alzheimer's. He's really quite unwell.
Oh,
so
shit,
you
really?
Tell him about that. And then we went down into the lobby and I sat with the shopmaster, Errol Hemner. I'd never met Fred before. He was brand new. Sat with Lanny Poffel, who I've met a few times and we've done an interview together.
Did he remember you? Did he remember the chat?
I went, of course I remember you. Of course I remember you. I got something for you. Oh, Flower of Scotland. What's the Flower of Scotland again?
When will we see your legs again?
He went, Grado, or Flower of Scotland, when will we see your legs again? And give us this day. Oh, no, that's a fucking prayer, isn't it? But he can't all flower of Scotland.
Scotland died for.
Your wee bit Hill and Glen. And stood against him. Against who? Proud Edward's army. He was doing all that, right? He was
aye, aye, aye.
He was brand new. So that's out with him. Then old JR come down. He come down. Old crab at arse JR, man.
Was he crab it?
He was all right at first, man. He's like, I'm scared, you know, good to see you. It was everything brand new, good talking away. Then the nasty boys came down, and I kind of made an ass of myself for the nasty boys.
Why we try to like get into their armpits, not it?
No, do you know that way I was two bottles of wine down, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to get involved.
Two bottles of wine now, for fuck's sake, man. It was one bottle of wine a minute ago.
You didn't talk about his micro penis, did you, Grade?
No, I never. And I feel bad, but I was a pain in the arse. I just know I was a pain in the arse. And there was, you could tell, I tried to stop myself from talking shite to them, but eventually I started talking rubbish. And, you know, I'd done something that you just can't recover for, I feel. But what I done, it's the loneliest place in the world, mate. But I had calmed myself down, right?
What's the loneliest place in the world?
Well, I stood up and I dropped bevy everywhere. On the table, didn't I? Stood up, drinks everywhere, God. On GR's knees, fucking Brian Nobbs's crutches. You know what I mean? What the fuck, man?
Oh my
God. What the fuck, dude? What the fuck, man? I'm going, sorry. Get that way, and I just feel as if you can't recover for that.
Aye.
Dude, what the fuck, man? I'm sorry. By the way, I was in TNA. Get on, right?
Aye.
Really, really bad. And then I could tell I was rabbiting onto Brian Nobbs, and you could tell he kind of be fucked with me. And he's going, aye, cool, right? And I'm going, you're not listening to me, eh? You're doing that, I'm doing a cheeky bastard, right? I go, you're not listening to me. He's going, what? Dude, you're too much, bro. You're too much.
You're too much.
So there's a guy.
This is a guy that was in the WWF locker room in the 80s. Is saying to Grado, "You're too much."
Well, it kind of got worse, right? So I don't know if I should say this, but right. So there was a guy in a wheelchair. I can't remember his name. I spoke. He was lovely, a great guy. I spoke to his sister on FaceTime. She was a big Two Doors Down fan, right? So I was talking away to her. So he kind of was sitting at the table ways as well. And I
was he part of the convention?
He was there. He was part. Right. He was there, kind of just like taking in the weekend. But what a lovely guy you'll never meet. And he was sitting, and of course Brian Nobbs is telling me to calm down, and everybody is telling me to calm down, and Jerry Sags is calling me a big Scottish dildo and all this horrific party. Right? I was getting wound up, and then at one point, this was daft, but the guy's wheelchair was the acceleration thing was a thing in his on the. The what would you call it? The handlebar. The handlebar was the accelerator. And I went, what is that? They can hang with that. And I pressed in the handlebar, and the guy's wheelchair went flying into Brian Nobbs's knees. Honestly, it was just daft. And of course, Brian Nobbs goes, what the fuck are you doing, man? And everybody's going, what happened? So while he's explaining to everybody else, the motherfucker fucking put the wheelchair in my legs, man. It's my fucking bad leg, right? But while he's doing that, I said to the boy, I says, can you take the heat for this and say that your horn slipped? And he went, Brian, just to let you know, he says, sorry, I pressed that by accident there. And the guy went, oh, right, okay. And I thought, I can't believe I got that poor guy to take the blame for doing that. Anyway, so then at one point, I know, I felt as if I had to ask Errol Hemner as well about fucking his brother. I went, how's your brother, Dave? And G.I. went, way to go, fucking Grado. Way to go. He's got fucking dementia. How the fuck do you think he is? Way to go, Grado. Good job, Grado. How the fuck do you think he is? I just fucking made an ass of myself, you know that way. And then I put a video in the chat, me shouting across to Jerry Sags. I was an asshole to that guy. But don't get me wrong, I paid for it the rest of the weekend, man. They really, really, all weekend they were shouting real stuff at me and taking the piss when my line wasn't busy, and they went for me. In fact, so the next morning I woke up and Road Dogg was there, and it's the first time I'd met Road Dogg, but Billy Gunn introduced me to him and stuff like that. And
How was he, Road Dogg?
Road Dogg's brand new. He was the man. But Jerry Sags come down for breakfast, and of course Jerry Sags is walking by, and he goes, you're fucking, and he started stretching my cheek and like playing with my ear and slapping me and all that, like bullying me, do you know what I mean? I just sat there like a wee pussy just taking it and didn't know doing nothing, right? So he walked away, and Rogue Doug's going, hey Grado, You gonna put up with that shit, man?
What? This is amazing.
He was like, I don't like shit like that, man. Those motherfuckers used to do that with me, man, but I put a stop to that. I don't like seeing shit like that. I was like, well, what do you expect me to do? I'm not going to start fucking kicking fuck out of my convention, am I? Because I kind of did that. I goes, look, I was an asshole to them last night. I'm just going to put up with it. He was going, dude, just don't put up with that, man. Don't put up with that. So then we all get
fucking good on him, man.
He was brand new. He was a really, really nice guy. But it was weird. I did have a wee bit of like, there was one point where we all get like transported to the convention, and I'm sitting in like a van with Tori Wilson, Trish Stratus, JBL, Kurt Angle, and all that. And I'm in the back with my like Gradle hat and all that, my tracksuit. Pure. Where the van go? Where the van sat down? It was quite awkward, man. And then so the convention was brilliant. I mean, Sting was there, and the lines were fucking massive, and just it was absolutely.
So who had the biggest line?
I would say Sting, man. Sting, because he was only there for 4 hours, and Kurt Angle had a pretty long queue as well. But everybody's line was massive, and it took me like for
everybody's.
People, well, apart from mine, mine's was not. in the first day, I will put my hand up and say there was nobody, hardly empty at my table, but. It was because although I know that I'm trying to make excuses for myself, I'm no daft. There's fucking Sting where the line's cute. You want to see Sting? Who the fuck cares about me? Do you know what I mean? So it didn't really kick in for me until like later on the Saturday once everybody had got their Sting pictures and their Angle pictures.
The thing, isn't it?
And like... folk were coming out and brand new. Bray Wyatt was amazing as well. He was Bray Wyatt was great as well. I was talking away to him. And
so how's he doing? How's he looking?
I know, what was I saying to him? I feel as if sometimes I can't keep up with Americans, right? Because I feel as if they talk too intelligent to me, right? Do you know that way, right? So fucking Bray Wyatt's talking to me. He's going, you've been away from wrestling, right? I'm going, I've been away for 2 years. He's like, we're talking. He's going, you know, he's like, just having the anxiety, man, to get back out there and what people want. You know, we as characters, you know, I've done that fiend gimmick, but. You know, the matches were shit. I didn't enjoy it. It was the same shit every month and blah, blah, blah. And I just went, hey, but come on, man. Your mask was scary, wasn't it? You know what? I goes, your mask was a cracker. Your mask was scary, wasn't it? I just didn't know what to say, do you know what I mean? It was fucking awful.
That's interesting, though, that he says, oh, the matches were shit in it. Because it's that was always my fucking problem with Bray Wyatt. It was like, oh, listen, the matches are crap. And it's interesting, he knows that as well. Like, he wants, God, it's interesting, man. I wonder how he'll come back. I hope the guy has just, he's a talented guy. I hope he does.
There's a lot of folk that they just don't know what, I mean, like, obviously, I was talking to big Braun Strowman about control your narrative and stuff like that. And he showed up on the Saturday night, he showed up as an entrant in the Rumble, which was a really good surprise. But the highlight for me was day in the match. So all day I'm going, fuck me, I need to wrestle tonight. This is the worst. Do you know the way? I was rough. Folk hate me. I was like, this is just, I can't deal with this today. And you know that way, I'm like, right, okay. So the event starts. I only had like half an hour to kind of like see who I was wrestling. But luckily I was with Joey Hayes and Danny Hope, who are just complete pros. And they're like, oh, we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Just for, I'm like, aye, watch it for the elbow. We'll just watch for the elbow. And so we're just about to go this 8-man tag match. Anthony Agogo's in the match as well. And I'm like on the brink. I'm on the absolute brink. And I'm just about to go to the curtain. And I see JBL, Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, MVP, what'd you call him?
MGF,
Ken, all the big dogs sitting watching the show. I went, oh, for fuck's sake. I was like, why are they still here? I was like, are we at the bar? Ken, that way, I thought, don't watch this. No, that way, I was like, I can't take this. I can't take the pressure. So I went out, done my entrance, and you know that way, done my entrance, whatever, and I'm doing my gaga, I'm doing my kind of daft stuff, playing with the referee, and I turn round and look at the crowd, the wrestlers.
Aye.
And they were all pissing themselves and smiling and laughing. And I thought, fuck this, man, I've got them. You know that way?
I felt,
oh, I'm going to, this is all for them. And I know this is a weird way of thinking, but I felt as if I performed for them. Do you know what I mean by that?
A lot of people, when they're going out and doing any kind of live stuff, they kind of visualise in their head one person in the audience or one person that they know is going to be there or whatever, and they're doing it for them.
They're going to appreciate the way my psychology is going to be for the, you know, stunning on the apron and getting the hot tag. And I just thought I've got to do this spot on. And don't get me wrong, man. I get hot tag, come in, house of fire, bang, 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 bang. I get cut off with some kind of gaga comedy spot that stoked everything. And then the finish came, and at the end we done the dance, and I just looked around and I seen them, they're all dancing like a prayer. And I came, and I was supposed to do interval photos right away, but my ego, I'm like, I want to know what they think right away. So I went out the ring, came out through the curtain, and I fucking stood there, JBL, what talking about that? JBL went, my man, that's the biggest lot of shit I've ever, I'm only kidding, that was fucking awesome, shoot my horn. He says, nice. That was brilliant. But Billy Gunn says, end the show. End the show. He says, we're not going to get any higher than that. Road Dogg went, that was just
not, beautiful,
and
beautiful.
I could honestly felt like greeting you, just because, and I know I sound like a punter for myself telling you this, but I could regret the way how they were, like JBL tell me. He says, man, you remember me of Dick Murdoch. You're Dick Murdoch, man. You remind me. And I'm going, oh, I've got the same figure as him. If I've known. He goes, no, I'm being serious, man. That's a good compliment. That's a great compliment. And it was, see, just because I've been away for wrestling, and you always
respect,
think about...
Respect for your peers, mate. Respect.
Mate, it was nothing better. Peers. I'm no joking. I just felt fucking excellent. I did. I really, really, really enjoyed wrestling. It was brilliant to get back. There is one part when I'm lying on the deck, and I'd done everything, do you know what I mean? And I was waiting on the finish happening where I go, and if I don't, I'm going, fuck, I have missed this, man. You know what I mean? I'm going, this is gallus. I was like, this is where I need to be. I'm loving this.
Aye.
So... done that, and then the Sunday as well. Sunday was great as well. Sat and, you know, kind of chilled out with some of the wrestlers and stuff like that. But it was brilliant, man. It was good to see all the Yanks. It was good to see all the fans. So bring it on.
Right, so tell us about ICW then. Where did you shoot that wee promo?
We done it at the Asylum just about 2 days before the
before
convention.
You headed off?
Aye, before I headed off. Because I thought...
Did that all come together quite short notice?
I think it did, aye, because I'd attempted to come back at the square goal, but I couldn't do it. I had too much on, stuff with the wind and that, but I just miss, I just, Shug's House Party is always a great event, and it's early 2 days again in the summer at the O2 Academy, big crowd. I want to get involved in it again, man. I do.
And what's your...
We don't know what's going to happen.
I generally don't know what I'm doing yet,
but I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Well, there's wee bits and bobs, wee ideas.
But is that a discussion that's happening?
Aye, discussion. Mm-hmm.
Because wrestling's kid on, so...
Wrestling's kid on.
Grado, that was an amazing interview, mate. What are you going to do now for the rest of the night?
Well, I've got Grado's Big Family Wrestling Bash tomorrow. If you want to go to it, 2 p.m. kickoff, pavilionfeater.co.uk. Some of the best in British wrestling are going to be on the show. I must admit, I'm stressing out, mate. I'm really stressing out because it's just... with COVID and stuff like that, the potential people pulling out, and I'm flying people up, and, you know, getting people to their digs and knowing where people need to be and the
so
car and stuff.
Are you dealing with that yourself? You've not got anybody dealing
no,
with that?
No, I do everything.
So you book your digs and all that? And...
book the digs, book the wrestlers, book everything. I do everything. I need to get all the cues and stuff to the production guys, because I've got music, videos. There's a lot of stuff happening on it because I like it to be... I like a lot of stuff to happen in it. I don't like it just being matches. I like, because I always think to myself, there's mums and dads that don't want to be there, right? They've seen one match and that's it, right? What's happening now?
Aye.
It needs to be fast paced, quick matches, fucking goody versus the baddie, big guys, wee guys, high flyers, you know, the female wrestling as well, stuff like that. A wee bit for everybody. So
variety.
Variety, man, exactly it. Variety.
And if you want to be on the run-in, your best bet is to sign up to our Patreon as our World Heavyweight Champs get first dibs, IC Champs get second, and Cruiserweight Champions get third. Get in patreon.com/wrestlingdaft to get yourself involved.
You just made the list!
Now, bigger than Kevin Nash, it's the list of Wrestling Daft. This week, it was between the greatest WCW champions and the best pay-per-views out with the Big Four, and it was the best pay-per-views that won it. Best pay-per-views outside the Big Four, man. Fuck's sake. That's a tricky one. Grado, any thoughts on this?
I always like Backlash.
You know any specific Backlash?
All right.
No, but I don't understand. Is it supposed to be a specific one? I need to be honest, I'm not a big fan of tables, ladders, and chairs.
No, I don't like any of the events where the full night is dedicated to one. You know what I mean? If it's Hell in a Cell, I don't like that. I don't like when lockdown TNA, they done it all, the one type. I don't like that.
I miss King of the Ring, though. I do miss King of the Ring. I liked King of the Ring.
The problem is there's too many titles in the WWE now, so that would mean nothing being King of the Ring. Because the big thing back in the day was the winner of the King of the Ring gets a title shot at SummerSlam, wasn't
it? Aye.
Aye.
I think so, aye. I miss that.
Money in the Bank 2011. CM Punk and Cena, that whole thing was, that main event was fucking amazing. It's probably one of my all-time favourite wrestling matches, that.
And the, I would the say so as well.
I love
that. I always have a fondness for St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Aye.
Just purely because the name, for one thing, the fact they called it that, Big Show turning up,
aye,
Stone Cold getting flung through the cell and then falling off and winning the match with their fingers up and all that. Aye. Just a scary, because it was right in the smack bang in the middle of that Attitude Era. It was an exciting time. Valentine's Day Massacre. These ones stick out in my head. See ones that only the generic titles, like see Tuesday in Texas as well, sticks in my head as well.
Taboo Tuesday.
Aye, but what was the kind of electronic internet one they used to do, remember?
Cyber Sunday,
fuck me, man.
Is this match going to be a hair versus hair, a ladder match, or
and you would
a
vote?
Two out of three falls? Aye.
That was mental, man.
And I think that was all shoot, wasn't it?
Aye, I think so.
Because there was the story about Shelton Benjamin was never expected to be picked, and they basically called it on the fly that he was to win the match near the end of it. There was a story about it. They called to the referee, right? Shelton's going over to win the IC title. I'm sure it was.
I love a Halloween Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved a Halloween Havoc back in the day when WCW used to make a bit of an effort and it looked like a proper, like a ghost train, like a Halloween party.
Aye.
I don't know. This is a tough list. Let's see what the punters are saying. So let's see. Who's this first person here?
I've not written their name. Sorry.
Right, let's move on to the next one. JR says, Unforgiven 2006, what a show. Kieran says, for some reason, I always love going back and watching Vengeance 2006. Mm. RVD and Edge have a banger. Cena versus Sabu is a lot of fun. And Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle is just class. Yeah, there's a couple of weird ones on the rest of the card, but overall, a pretty good show, says Kieran. Matty says, TLC 2010, thinks Sheamus beat Triple H for the title. I love how Matty says that's his favourite ones, TLC 2010, and he says, I think Sheamus beat Triple H for the title. Fuck knows, man. Fuck knows what happened in that, man. It's my favourite. Andy says, in your house, beware of the dog.
Aye.
Brian says, great balls of fire. Joan Brock. Aye. And Big Mash says, no way out, 2001. 02, 03, 04, we're all better. There's a big No Way Out fan there. Remember the posters used to be good and all. Remember posters used to be better than they're now. Like now the posters are always the kind of generic, just fucking wrestlers stunning their posters.
That's interesting you say that, Rab, because there was like obviously wee shops. That was another thing, I know. Oh hi, wait to tell you. Rab, did you came out of boat?
What?
Right, so there was a guy at the convention selling replica wrestling belts. No, he wasn't selling them. There was a guy showing him. Have I not showed you this, Rab?
No, I don't think so.
Right, so, mate, I was obsessed with replica belts when I was a boy, right? And see, through Dane Wrestling, I get desensitized to the belts. You know what I mean? I never really bothered with it until at this convention, somebody had, like, a Harley Race signed NWA title. Somebody had an original Reggie Parks fucking Winged Eagle belt. There was, honestly, the belts were amazing, right? And there was one that I really, really liked. It was the blue... Remember Kane won the WWF title in 1998 and it was sort of blue. Austin given it the night after WrestleMania 14.
Oh, aye. Wait, man, right. You did send me a picture of this, didn't you?
Aye. Well, listen, I found a wee guy in East Kilbride within a couple of days and went to his house in a boat. You want to see it? Let me show you the night.
Aye, we got it.
This is a cracker.
How much was it? His earphones are off.
I think it was £300. Well, while Grade was away, Rab, it was Jose McNaldo who came in with the best known big. Four pay-per-views, Backlash 2000, Judgment Day 2000, Undertaker Return, and number three was Armageddon 2000, Jose McNaldo.
Rab, look at this bad boy.
Look at that.
It's a cracker, isn't it?
Look at that.
What a Look at the sign, look at that.
That's beautiful.
I know a cracker or what.
That's a real deal, mate. That's it.
Get to the Patreon and see my new belt. WWF block logo 1998. Because and it's a you know, it's obviously a bootleg, but it was made in Pakistan where the copyrights do not extend to Pakistan, so it's completely legal. So it's made of real leather, real gold.
That is something else in it. What a beautiful belt, man.
Come on, to buggery.
What a beautiful belt.
Anyway.
Speaking of the posters thing there, Grade Watchers.
So there was a guy selling posters.
Aye.
And I thought, oh my God, that looking back, it's a bit like having like a Trainspotting poster or a Scarface poster when you see like the No Way Out 2000 poster.
Aye.
Or the Rumble. Aye, you're bang on with that, mate.
Yeah, because I was just looking back there at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre poster, which and then you get Vince standing there, hodding the roses with the thorns. I've made them bleed and the blood's all running down his horn. It's a fucking brilliant poster, man. So, listen, everybody, there's more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This is how you can get involved in our Discord if you're a Patreon. Chat to us and the rest of the community. I'm going to jump on the Discord and see what's happening this weekend. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be planning to sit about the house a lot the second half of the year, so I need to talk to people. The best way to get involved is sign up for one of your tiers at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. So if you fancy that, becoming one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'd love to welcome you to the roster. And you can still get some merch, some t-shirts at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Right, now, folks, that's it for Wrestling Daft. It's great to be back. We're up and running. We're back in the game as the season of the wrestling picks up again. We are back on the reg, on the regular. When I say season, I don't mean football season. We don't care about football here. Wrestling. It's all about wrestling on this show. Grado, an absolute pleasure again, as ever. I'm going to start watching the wrestling now that my tour's done. I'm going to be watching the wrestling like mad so I can come on here and shame you with all my knowledge about all the guys and all the ladies of the world of professional wrestling.
How, just quickly before you go, how are you finding Cody's run on Raw? Because I've kind of fell away the last couple of weeks.
I think they're booking him super strong, man. They're booking him really strong. They're booking him like a star. So obviously some conversations are taking place. Obviously Cody's went, Vince, I'm only coming back if you book me where I feel I should be booked. So I've been quite impressed by it. And, you know, his next match, he's wrestling Rollins again, I believe. I mean, that's going to be great again. Rollins is just great, man. Rollins is just great. And I have to say, man, I love Becky's looking on it now. She's gone for things. Things have perked up on the WWE side for me of late, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? My only frustration maybe being that Finn Balor is kind of not
in the picture.
Not really in the picture.
Well, he's kind of back in.
Back in the picture a wee bit.
AJ, I think that's probably the way, because AJ Styles is not doing anything and Finn Balor isn't doing anything, so it looks like they're kind of going to do a kind of Bullet Club thing on Raw.
Something seems to be happening there, developing there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had him showing his arse a wee bit for a few months, you know what I mean? So it's good to see, hopefully, the corner's getting turned on that. And I just want to say, I didn't put this over and I should have put it over back in a bit, but this Ezekiel stuff,
hilarious.
I'm fucking loving it, man.
It's the best, mate.
I need to
catch up on it, but from what I saw the last couple of weeks,
no, this guy, right, has came back, right? Elias has came back as Ezekiel, and it's not just that he's wearing different gear, no, he wrestles different and everything. He's wrestling different, and it's amazing seeing people reacting and being like, fuck's sake, man. This guy's actually a brilliant wrestler, man. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's really great. It's really funny. I think he's brilliant at it. And I've got a feeling, hopefully, I think he's getting a vibe of a guy I think Vince probably loves. He's looking on it.
100%.
I think Vince looks at this guy and goes, I love this guy. You know what
100%,
I mean?
That's the exact same. I think the trunks, the hair all slipped back, clean shaven.
Aye, looks right great. Amazing body and all that. Aye. Big guy can talk. Aye. Me bother. Just has a kind of look about him. He has a twinkle in his eye. You know what I mean? I liked him. I liked him when he was Elias. I like this even better, man. I think this is something big could be happening here. That's a wrestling daft.
I was going to say, next week we're going to be talking about Cody interview with Austin drops tonight.
Okay, cookies.
Yeah,
that'll be a good watch. That's going to be an interesting watch to see what they dig into there, because Cody is a smart guy, man. It's good. I enjoy listening to Cody talk. So okay, well, it's been a pleasure, guys.
Yep, up the road and it's yourself.
Good luck tomorrow, Grado.
All the best, mate. Cheers.
And John, good luck editing this together and taking out all Grado's terrible non-politically correct part. It's yourself.
It's yourself.
Audio Frontier.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.